Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
WWE has their 20th anniversary show, TNA has a wedding, and who was revealed as a member of Aces and Eights? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Mick Foley is the first inductee into the 2003 Hall of Fame. What do you think
about
that?
The 2001?
The 2013 Hall of Fame, my bad. So does this come as a surprise since they announced it in the, in the New York Times?
I don't know where they announced it, but it was a little bit of a surprise. Mick Foley, of course, is very deserving of this. He did so much for them, and I really hope that the Hall of Fame, we had talked about it in years past, how it should only be a certain number of people every year. I hope that this year it's kind of the same thing. You know, you do a max of like four or five people, make it really special. You have that one headliner this year in particular. It's Mick Foley. So I think it's kind of cool, and it's very well deserving.
But here's the weird part: the rumor is that they're going to induct the Click.
I doubt they
do not deserve to go in. DX, I can see all the members of DX minus China, because you know. But I would be very upset if they actually inducted the Click, because then Triple H could actually have a third time getting in if he really wanted to.
Well, Triple H, first of all, you don't do that. Triple H is still a fairly active wrestler, and you want to wait a couple years. You know, I still think it was dumb for them to put Edge in there right away. Eddie Guerrero, right after he died, it's like, look, you know, why don't you wait a couple years and then you induct somebody into the Hall of Fame, and then it means a little bit more to him. And Triple H still pretty active. Shawn Michaels has been out, and he's already been inducted. You have Kevin Nash. I don't believe that he's been inducted. Scott Hall, same thing. Do you really want to put those guys in the Hall of Fame already? Do you really want to make it that big of a joke? I hope they don't. I don't think that they will this year. If they do, I would imagine it would be years down the road.
Well, you know what? Scott Hall may not last that long, so you may want to put him in as soon as possible. Another name getting thrown around right now is Bam Bam Bigelow. Is he deserving to be in the WWE Hall of Fame, though?
I think that there's other people you put in there before you put in Bam Bam Bigelow. I do think that there's a lot of other people.
Chris Benoit?
That is a name that you don't put into the WWE Hall of Fame. But there are other people. Don't get me wrong. Bam Bam Bigelow did some good things, did some, you know, not as good things. But you have Bruno Sammartino. You have Owen Hart. You know, you have people who deserve to be in there before you put in Bam Bam Bigelow. If he goes in, whatever, I'm not going to, you know, be like, oh, that's a travesty. But there are other people more deserving.
Like the Dudleys. And speaking of the Dudleys, Bubba Ray did a radio interview actually a couple days ago, and he went out of his way to mention CM Punk. Did you hear about this at all?
I did hear about it, and I thought it was very interesting that he mentioned somebody who is the top of a rival promotion.
Especially because they were interviewing him about what was going to happen on Thursday's Impact. And he then all of a sudden decides, hey, I got to bring up CM Punk. And the thing is, he made a good point. He goes, back in the ECW days, that stuff would happen. Like, basically, they would just basically not care. They would say whatever they wanted, and they would say, this is how it's going to happen. You know, I thought that was really interesting that he, you know, I still can't believe he went out of his way to mention CM Punk, you know, and, well, it kind of hurt, I think, Impact this week, but I guess we'll talk about that later.
Well, I think that it's the thing I like that TNA is doing. Bully's doing it here. TNA will mention WWE from time to time. You know, they don't go out of their way to mention him all the time, but, you know, they'll say, you know, and he's held tag titles in every major promotion, WCW, WWE, here in TNA, New Japan Pro Wrestling. You know, they mention things like that because they know that they're not in a little bubble and that there's other things out there. And, you know, Bully Ray is just acknowledging he went out of his way, of course, but he's acknowledging that, look, you know, that guy, CM Punk, he's pretty awesome. I would like to work with him here in TNA, you know, that type of thing.
And the other thing also, and I know we're jumping around right now with this, but with Mick Foley, he Terry Funk's going to induct him, most likely. But he threw some names out there, and one of them, I was surprised, was Al Snow, because he's not even in the WWE anymore. He's mm-hmm. with TNA, and he's a part of the Gut Check, of course. And I thought it was interesting that he brought up that name, like I said, because it's in a rival promotion. But who knows what's going to happen here? This is very interesting that, you know, well, you're hearing
Mick
stuff
from both. Mick Foley is a little different, though. He doesn't have a problem because he worked with TNA for a while, you know, and right. he doesn't have an issue mentioning TNA as somebody like, I don't know, like CM Punk, for example. CM Punk's not going to mention TNA in anything that he ever does or says. Triple H isn't going to say anything. Vince McMahon's not going to, you know, name them by name. So Mick Foley doesn't surprise me that much. But Andy, so you apparently were very exhausted watching WWE programming this week. Is that correct?
Oh, my gosh, dude. I rewatched the SmackDown. I watched Raw. I watched Main Event. I watched Superstars. I couldn't get to NXT this week. I was that exhausted from watching all the WWE programming. Now, one thing I didn't talk about last week, which I can't believe I forgot about it, was the fact that we have a new NXT champion. And if that, of course, is Big E Langston. Big E Langston is your new NXT champion. He beat Seth Rollins, which I was kind of shocked about. But I watched so much wrestling this week. I watched a lot of indie last week. But this week in particular was really bad, I thought. There was so much going on. There was nothing special about programming. I mean, when you go in, like, basically you go into the, you know, the 20th anniversary of Raw. Don't you think that that should have been a bigger show? Really, the only thing happened was that Eve quit after Caitlyn beat her.
Mm-hmm.
And then CM Punk had a really good match. Ziggler had a good match as well with Cena. What then?
And you saw some, you know, flashbacks to earlier things, which was really cool. The opening was awesome. The
opening was really good.
You know, they showed a lot of that stuff, and I was like, oh, this is really neat. And then I really was surprised that they didn't show a ton of, like, old school people.
1-2-3
Kid? Like, I would thought that they would have had special guests. You know, I thought that they would show people, have them come back, make returns, anything like that. And they didn't do it.
They had Ric Flair.
Yeah. But, Andy, I wanted to go to your point, though, that you said about being exhausted. I think it says something. You know, we're adults. You know, we're going to be working 40, 45 hours a week. And then you also got to throw in the commute in there as well. And, you know, there are people who are away from their house for 50 plus hours a week, you know, for because they're working and whatnot. And then when you have time to come home, you have a wife, you have kids, you know, maybe spend time with friends, do stuff outside the house. You have a short amount of time to entertain yourself, so to speak. And unfortunately, with WWE programming, when you have 3 hours of Raw, you have 2 hours of SmackDown, you know, you have an hour of NXT, an hour of Main Event, an hour of Saturday Morning Slam.
What, 30 minutes for that show? And I forgot either about way. Saturday Morning Slam, yeah. By the way. That was a 14-minute match, yeah. But it was great.
But nonetheless, you want to talk about being exhausted watching, you know, we do that because we like wrestling and we like doing the show. But nonetheless, it still is really exhausting that we have to do all of that stuff and still maintain a normal life. I think they're doing themselves a disservice with that, you know, just to throw that out there. But
yeah, but anyways,
going on, though, to
the Cena and Ziggler feud, going to that.
Yeah.
What was really accomplished? Because it just shows that Cena's he's the guy. He can't be beaten. You know, with even Big E coming in there, you know, with the chair, he still won. You know, you would think that there's no way he'd hit the attitude adjustment on him. And he does. He gets the AA on him. That's it. 1-2-3. And to me, that was a clean pin. Where do you go from yeah. Ziggler now? Because there's been rumors, you know, making him heel or making him a face. But you can't do that. If you make him a face, him and AJ have to break up.
Mm-hmm.
How do you really make him a face? I don't get it. That's why this match just makes sense. All it does is show that Cena is unstoppable. That's what it showed to me, is that no matter what Ziggler does, Cena finds a way to win. That's what I took out of that match.
And the only clean win that I shouldn't even say clean. The only win that Ziggler has over Cena, if I'm correct, is from Money in the Bank or from TLC.
Yeah.
And when they had the you know, briefcase above the ring. That's the only one I can think of. Since then, they've had matches, first of all, before that and after that, on free TV where Cena wins.
And you're talking about the match, of course, where they put the Money in the Bank case on the line.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah,
that's talking about.
I was like, in the bank.
I was wait a minute, Cena and him won it, but I don't want to, you know, we don't want to confuse anyone. But yeah, that's where Ziggler was forced to put that on there because of something Vince McMahon did to Vicky Guerrero, which was hilarious. But yeah. Unbelievable. But yeah, so what do you think about the CM Punk Rock ending? Do you think that was dumb? Because I thought that was so stupid.
I disagree with you on that, actually. Though.
Really?
I liked it. Here's why I liked it. I thought having Punk come out and bum rush Rock made it look good because last week you have him in the middle of the ring, you know, just cutting promos, and then Rock bottoms CM Punk. And then, you know, he Rock bottoms him, and then, you know, Rock looks good. This week Rock's, you know, cutting a promo, and Punk comes out. He's like, oh, you think that's funny? Well, let's go. And then he bum rushes him. So it's Punk saying that he's not afraid of the Rock. And I think so from that storytelling point of view, I liked it. I'm interested, though, to hear from you why you didn't like it.
This is just a stupid statement. Rock comes out, does a stupid concert thing. Okay, they did it once before, and it was funny. They do it again. It's not funny anymore. The Rock is just there just because he's there. I mean, if CM Punk drops the belt to the Rock, what then? Because the Rock's going to have to drop it right away. He's going to have to drop it by Elimination Chamber. Then what does that do for the company? What does that do for that belt? It's just saying, hey, the Rock can come in whenever he pleases and do this, do that, and that's it. To me, that's a horrible thing. And I'm just saying it right now. CM Punk will drop it to the Rock now. I can see the look on his face, the look in his eyes. You can just tell that he was told, by the way, the Rock's going to win the WWE Championship at Royal Rumble. Then what was the point of the streak? You need to have something. You need to have an end game for this streak. If he beats the Rock and says no one can, and then he goes to the Elimination Chamber and say no one can beat me, and then Taker comes out, it'd be one thing, because then you could say streak versus streak. But you have to have something like that going into that match before Punk drops it. Otherwise, there's no point to the match at all, and you basically wasted his entire championship there. That's why watching the segment, seeing the big picture, I thought it was horrible. I mean, well, like, the fact that he did run down there and, go at it with him, I thought that was like, okay, so he got under his skin. You know, like, I did like that aspect of it. But that's pretty much it.
To talk about the bigger picture just for a little bit, I disagree with you on whether, like, let's say Punk versus Taker. Because, you know, that's what they're saying that is going to be the match at WrestleMania. I don't really want to see that. I really don't. I think that that's actually a pretty bad match to have. I think Punk versus Taker is a really dumb one because they already wrestled before. They had this very storied rivalry.
Correct.
And so I don't think that we need to see that again, personally.
But my thing is, what's the end game? Why have The Rock win the championship when he's going to have to drop it right away?
He's going to drop it to Cena. So for Rock to win last year's WrestleMania against Cena, you know that something was said where, you know, hey, Cena, we're going to have you lose to The Rock, but in a year from now, you're going to win the WWE title from him. It's going to be a big deal because you're not going to hold it for a while. And so he's like, oh, okay, that's actually good then. I'm okay with that. Because Cena's going to have an ego in the same way Hogan did, you know, and the same way that, you know, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels had their egos back in the day. You know, he's going to have a little bit of an ego. And I believe that Cena probably is like, all right, that's the only way I'm going to be okay with that. Because they had long-term planning for that big of an event. So for Punk to drop the title, at that point in time, it's okay to me. I'm not saying that because, like, I'm a Rock mark by any means, because I'm not. I like The Rock, but I'm not a mark for him by any means. The Rock or Punk, for him, the streak that they have going on, it's just a number to get under people's skin, to say, guess what? Nobody still beat me. Oh, still here. You still haven't beat me yet. And that's going to get under people's skin. That's going to infuriate people knowing that Punk is still the champion. If he would have dropped the title at, Survivor Series or SummerSlam, you know, it would be, you know, he still would have had the streak going until then. And it's going to be that way until Royal Rumble.
Here is where I think the end game could work. This is the only way it could work. CM Punk beats Rock. CM Punk retains at Elimination Chamber. He says no one can beat him. Undertaker is really banged up. But someone who isn't is Triple H. Triple H could come out and say, I want the belt. You could have Triple H versus CM Punk. And then if Triple H was to win, if CM Punk beats Triple H, that would, I think, even elevate him even higher. But if Triple H wins it, Triple H could say, I ended your streak.
Well, yeah. Well, he would do something like that. Yeah. I'm okay with Punk losing the title at Royal Rumble. I don't think he's going to now, though. It's weird because in, you know, six episodes ago, I was saying, yeah, he's definitely going to lose it. I think he's going to retain it till Elimination Chamber.
You think he's going to drop it? You think something's going to happen where he's going to be the first? He could be the first entrant in Elimination Chamber, but be also one of the last two people to get eliminated. And they can make a big deal about that.
On the poster, Rock is on there, Cena's on there, Punk, Ryback, you know. And I think that what'll happen is at Elimination Chamber, it'll come down to Punk and Rock will win that one. So Rock will win, Punk would win at Royal Rumble, but then Rock wins at Elimination Chamber, and then Cena challenges Rock, let's say, or Cena wins the Royal Rumble, something like that. But anyway, we've
talked a lot about it, but you know what? I guess he could drop it at Elimination Chamber because then the Shield can't interfere. I can see that. But anyway, so the one thing I want to talk about also, because I watched a lot of programming, Brad Maddox came out of nowhere, hopped over the barricade, and just started doing commentary for no reason. And he was hilarious on it. I got to say one thing, did an excellent job. I had a bunch of laughs. I thought it was hilarious. But that's probably about it for WWE programming this week. So let's move on to our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? Are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs to the free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK. You'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite every web hosting cost. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off The Mark page. And you're going to see some promos. Right now, I think they have a deal where if you spend $70 more at WWEShop.com and you use the coupon code that's in our banner, you can get $10 off that order. And they're offering free shipping this week. So make sure you check that out and make sure you check out HighSpots.com. So Impact Wrestling this week. So what's going on with Joey Ryan and Matt Morgan? Are they not a couple anymore?
Yeah, they're having marital issues. Now at Genesis this past week, they lost the match. Actually, Joey Ryan lost the match, and Matt Morgan came into the ring and he looked at Joey Ryan with disgust. He was not very happy. And neither of them were on Impact this past week, so we'll probably see what happened the following week on Impact.
And I think it's going to be big what's going to happen. There's been rumors that some stuff is going to happen next week Impact. So I'm looking forward to the show. And the spoilers, of course, will come out early. Can't wait for them. So Daniels becomes the new number one contender. How did he get this, Aaron?
He beat the Cowboy, James Storm. And it was a really good match. It was a really good match. And, you know, in typical heel fashion, he won. And it was good, though. I was very happy with that. It's going to be a very good storyline. You know, on Impact this week, he comes out and he, you know, tells Hardy that he's going to beat him, you know, next week for the title. And, you know, as expected. So I think that if they do this right, you could have Daniels and Hardy have a nice long feud for a little while. But I guess that's a wait and see.
Or, of course, until his contract runs out at the end of the March. Which, of course, you know, Hardy retains because of that. So he's going to take on Daniels next week. And there's some rumors coming around about this, Aaron.
There are rumors, so we won't speculate on them now. But Hardy retained by beating Austin Aries and Bobby Roode.
Yes.
In an elimination match that was surprisingly good.
Yes, very good.
It had a good ending because Roode got eliminated and then immediately Aries got eliminated. And it was good. I liked it. I thought that the storytelling was really good. And I think that Aries and Rude have a really good chemistry in the ring together. This week on Impact, they came out and you could tell they were setting up for those two to take on the tag champions. And they're really good on the mic. It's funny because they basically, because they're both good on the mic, they're trying to pull the mic away from each other to talk. And other tag teams, you have one guy who's really good, one guy who's okay. You know, you think about, like, I was going to say Matt and Jeff, but neither of them were that great. But Bully and D-Von, Bully was typically the mouthpiece. D-Von, you know, was in the background. Things like that. And it's funny to see these two on the stick. It really is.
And don't forget, Bully Ray had the stuttering problem, right?
Yeah.
So on Impact this week, Bully and Hogan, not Hulk, of course, but Brooke, Bully Ray and Brooke Hogan had a wedding. There's a lot of people that happened. We saw Tommy Dreamer, so he was on Raw a couple weeks ago. And then we saw Spike Dudley, which we haven't seen in a long time.
So yeah, that was
to see both those guys.
I honestly was more surprised to see Tommy Dreamer.
Well, okay, when they first showed Spike Dudley, I was like, what's Eric Bischoff doing there? Because at first, that's what I thought it was. I was like, oh, wait, it's Spike, duh. But they call him Spike, but I wonder if he can get away with that.
Well, they said he was known here as Brother Runt, and they referred to him, though, as Spike. And you can call him Spike. You can't call him Spike Dudley, though.
That's true. So you can get away with that. That's right, because you can call him Bully, Bubba Ray, and D-Von. So I guess they got away with that. But
yeah.
So what happens with the wedding? I mean, is this – because there's only been one wedding in history – that it's actually gone through, and everyone remembers that. Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth, that's the only wedding that went through all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So did this one go off without a hitch, Aaron?
Oh, of course not, Andy. So Taz gets on the mic, and he's like, dude, are you serious? And then he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, where's this going? And then he goes, man, it's getting hot in here. And I was like, is he going to, like, dance for Bully or something? Is he coming on to him?
Is Robbie T coming out and going to dance?
Yeah, I thought that they were going to start fist bumping or, you know, bumping something. And he takes off his jacket, and it says Aces and Eights Nomad. And I was like, really? Taz is a member? That's kind of weird. Why is Taz a member of the Aces and Eights? And so he reveals to be a member of Aces and Eights, and then they of course ambush and attack everybody in the ring. And it was chaos. And it feels like it was one step forward, two steps back. Like TNA this week, they had a pretty decent pay-per-view, had good matches. There was some stuff that they, you know, storytelling going on that was good. But then you have this crap, and it makes you go, ugh. At least that's the way I feel about it.
I think it all depends on what the show they're taping is going to be like. That's what I think is going to be the big outcome. Because if that show is good, yeah, there you go.
Well, then it's like, well, great. You should have done that show this week.
Exactly.
You do good shows live.
Exactly. But, oh, well. I guess crap happens. So, but it was nice seeing Tommy Dreamer and Spike Dudley, Brother Runt. I keep forgetting that's what he was called in there. It was nice seeing those guys back, though. Mm-hmm. So we need to talk about something also. Why is the Royal Rumble special? And I have no idea why. I just don't know.
You don't know why it's special?
No, I don't. Because the rundown of the show was leaked about what's going to happen. They gave certain... they basically gave 70 minutes of matches, 70 minutes of the Rumble, and they're probably going to add a couple things in beforehand.
Yeah.
Okay, but the thing is, is the Rumble going to end the show?
Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
But let's start with the history. So it was a 20-man over the top, you know, you throw a guy over, and then you win, right?
Okay.
And then they decided they would go to 30 and then stayed at 30 for a while, went to 40 one year, decided that was stupid, went back to 30. So... why is it so special? Originally, the winner won nothing. I don't know if you remember that.
I thought the first winner actually won something.
So Hogan won it a couple years. He was the champion, and he won it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's like, oh, hey, I'm the champion. I'm still going to win, though. And then they had it where the world title was vacant, And the winner of the Royal Rumble won the world title. And that, do you know who won it?
Ric Flair?
Yep, Ric Flair.
All right, I got good memory.
Ric Flair wins the title and becomes a really big deal, right? And then, I don't know if it was the year after or the year after that one, but a year or two later, they decided that the winner of the Royal Rumble gets a shot at the world title at WrestleMania, which is brilliant. Mm-hmm. So why is the Royal Rumble important? Why is it so special? One, it happens once a year. So it's like the Super Bowl, you know, mm-hmm. it happens only once in 52 weeks. That's it. And that's kind of cool. And you only have one. You don't have multiples like you do with TLC or with, you know, Money in the Bank or with Elimination Chamber. You only have one. You have it once and that's it. And the winner then has that title for the rest of their life. They can always say, I won the Royal Rumble back in 2012, back in, mm-hmm. you know, 2006, whatever it is. So that's always kind of cool, too. So, and on top of it, you're supposed to main event, not so much anymore, but you main evented WrestleMania, which was also a pretty big deal.
A huge deal, but it seems that the Royal Rumble is almost not the main thing right now. Like, all right, like for instance, this year, I'm going to refer to this year. If you have Rock actually win the championship, that's everyone's going to want to, is going to be shocked about that. So they're going to say, okay, this match is going to have to top it. Well, whoever wins the Royal Rumble should be the guy. I mean, that should be the guy. It would be interesting to see if Dolph Ziggler would win it, because my theory would be Ziggler wins it. And then he cashes in the Money in the Bank at Elimination Chamber after someone gets their butt kicked. Cashes it in. He's a champion. He has to face himself, and he brags about it. That would be an awesome end game. But who do you have win? You don't. Sheamus doesn't deserve to win it. Yeah. I have no idea who deserves. Who actually? It would actually help them out. Orton? No. Rey Mysterio? No. Conan? No. What? Blitzkrieg? No.
No. Probably not. No, but. At the same time, so I just listed why the Royal Rumble is so special, right? Do you know why it's no longer special anymore, Andy?
Why is it not special anymore, Aaron?
The brand split has ruined it.
Okay.
It's ruined it. And why? Tell me who won the Royal Rumble 2 years ago.
Cena?
Alberto Del Rio. Who won it three years ago?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Edge. Who won it 4 years ago?
I don't know.
I have no idea either. The only reason I know that is because we were doing the show then. I think it was Randy Orton then, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
But yeah. Nonetheless, you have these people who have won the Royal Rumble prior to then, and it's not that special anymore because they just lose. They lose at WrestleMania. Not that everybody should win. But when you have like three people in a row lose, it's kind of like, really? Or when you have the Royal Rumble winner open WrestleMania, it's when you go, really? Is that the best thing you can do?
Or when you have Dan O'Brien retain, and then he has an 18-second match, and then there's nothing about it afterwards.
Yeah.
It's a little bitter about that, by the way, if you can't tell.
Yeah. So why is the Royal Rumble so special, Andy?
Why is it special, Aaron?
It's special... because it's not special anymore. Oh, that's why it's special.
It's special because it's not special. Okay. All right. That's why. I see your point on that. Now, Royal Rumble has interested me. It's really interested me a lot. And I'm looking forward to actually watching the Royal Rumble. I think it's going to be a great pay-per-view besides what I think is going to happen. The end game, you know, it's one of those things. You have to look back, you know, 2 months later, which is a lot of programming, by the way. In TNA terms, that's a year of programming to do it right. You know, I love to, when we do a WrestleMania special, when we go back and actually say, was Royal Rumble a success? Because realistically, I don't remember the last pay-per-view that was really a success that says anything. Because there's so much stuff going on. So many matches.
Yeah.
You know, Wade Barrett, you know, and Orton and, you know, like having a great match on free TV. Okay.
Unnecessary.
But it would be interesting, though, would be good for Royal Rumble, is if they have someone, if they take everyone from NXT, put them in a ring, and say the Battle Royal winner of this gets a chance to be in the Royal Rumble. I hope they do that. who knows if they're going to do that, but that would be really cool.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and they need to have more qualifying matches. They yes. should have that. They need to have stuff like that on main event, on Saturday yes. Morning Slam.
Superstars.
The yeah. winner of this gets a shot, and not have it be like Ryback versus Titus O'Neil. You know, you have it be like Titus O'Neil versus, I don't know, like Cody Rhodes. And then it's like Cody Rhodes will probably win that, right?
Yeah.
But there's a chance. And then you have the losers of those qualifying matches do a 10-man over-the-top battle royale challenge.
Yes.
And it's not that hard to do. It really isn't. So, I don't know. Anyway, I think that's kind of enough about why the Royal Rumble's so special.
So why is the Royal Rumble special, Aaron?
Because it's not special.
And that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank NE6 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.